You're listening
to Welcome to Comics, episode number 302. This week, we talk about Thor, who holds the hammer. Visit WelcomeToComics.com. Hear past episodes. See what we're reading next. Or send us feedback. This show is supported by listeners like you. Access bonus episodes by becoming a patron today at patreon.com/WelcomeToComics. And now, the cast begins.
I haven't talked about the new Star Trek at all on this show.
I haven't watched it, but you can talk about it if you want.
Were you planning on watching Orville, the Seth MacFarlane one?
Yeah, I'm going to.
I really, really like that one. And I only saw the trailer and I didn't know that much about the show. I knew Seth MacFarlane was a Trekkie, but then I found out one of the showrunners for it was Brandon Braga.
Oh, really?
And one of the directors is Jonathan Frakes.
Oh.
So it's like, this is Star Trek, but not on CBS, basically.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they have some other stuff, because they still, it's Seth MacFarlane, so they put in some jokes. The first two episodes are a lot more joke-heavy, but man, episodes 3 and 4 could just be, like, good Star Trek.
Well, like you know, online I've seen a lot of, like, hate for the show.
Really?
I mean, not a lot, but I've seen mixed reviews, but everybody I've talked to in person has liked both Discovery and the Orville.
Yeah, I mean they're super different in tone. But yeah, Orville, the third episode of Orville is just like good Star Trek. It's a good episode too. Like even if you did it in the TNG style or the Voyager style, it's got a really good like moral dilemma, and the way they address it is well thought out, and like it's fucking good. It's a good
Somebody was telling me about one where like there's a species that only has one gender. Is that that episode?
That's that one.
Okay. Yeah, it seems interesting. I'm definitely going to watch it. Just, it's not enough time. It's not enough hours in the day.
Yeah, I know. I know how you feel.
I've been watching, like, stuff at lunch at work now. I used to never do that, but, like, you know, I've been trying to catch up on stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you just gotta cut stuff out, too. Like, my wife and I don't watch, like, Marvel anything anymore. We're gonna watch Thor Ragnarok, but we haven't seen Spider-Man, we haven't seen Deadpool, we haven't seen Ant-Man, we haven't seen Doctor Strange, we haven't seen,
Ant-Man's so good.
We haven't seen Civil War, we haven't seen, Ultron.
Ultron's not that good.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, we used to be, like, super up on the Marvel stuff, but now it's like, no time, man.
I haven't watched Spider-Man either, actually.
Yeah, I hear it's good, but
I would like to watch it at some point, but I'm not like
I got Trek to watch now. I have new Star Trek. Like here or there on Discovery, it's new Star Trek for the first time in like 13 years or something ridiculous. It just feels damn good.
Yeah, I'm glad that there's Star Trek again, and I hope it succeeds.
Me too. We can talk about the All Access and stuff when you finally watch it, when you get around to it. I'm not saying like, oh god, when you finally watch it, but I know it's on your radar, and I know you will get around to it, and when you do, then we will have
I definitely will.
Yeah. Well, speaking of discussion, it's late, we started late, so you want to just talk about this week's comic?
Sure, let's do it.
This week's comic.
Oh yeah, by the way, Jen's not here.
Yeah.
Jen's figuring out housing now that she's moved back into the United States of America.
Yeah, she's resettling.
Yeah.
Which is not easy, I can imagine.
Yeah, so we'll let her, you know, talk about that when she comes on again. Whenever that happens to be. But we're continuing our Podcaster's Choice Volume 2 series. So to celebrate 300 episodes, each one of us picked a Volume 2 of a comic that we've read before. And I, difficult enough, picked Thor, Who Holds the Hammer. This is the follow-up to Thor, The Goddess of Thunder, written by Jason Aaron. This is when they first introduced a Lady Thor. But this is difficult for my co-host because that's an episode that I did with my wife. So neither David nor Jen had read Volume 1 for the show before. Did you read it for this one, or did you just hop in at 6?
I have read it before because I was still getting this Thor single issues when new female Thor came out.
Yeah.
So I have read those issues before. I didn't reread them.
I think I just heard you do the same thing my wife and I were struggling with while we were talking about it, because we were talking about it, and, like, Volume 1 specifically has, like, multiple scenes where they say, "Don't call me Lady Thor, I'm just Thor. Like, I am Thor now, and that is Odin's son." But the problem is, like, there were multiple Thors before this. Like, yeah. Thor Odin's son is Thor, sure, but, like, you know, there was also Frog Thor and Better Abil, and, like, there's all these other Thors out there.
I mean, for discussion purposes, like, I mean, I guess we could call her Thor and then call Odin's son Odin's son.
I'm happy calling her Jane Foster Thor.
Okay, I didn't know if we were going to drop that gem yet, but I guess...
If you've read this that we're talking about today for the show, then you know it's Jane Foster. Yeah?
Yeah.
So, we can do it here. I'm not gonna call her Jane Foster Thor in the show notes. I'm not gonna call her Jane Foster Thor in the title or anywhere. So if you're just scrolling through, I'm not gonna spoiler it, you know, as you're scrolling past it on the feed. But, I'm assuming if you've downloaded this and listening to it, then you know who it is. If not, sorry, you just got spoiled. But man, I mean, I already knew even before I read these, because it was all over the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
so we'll call her Jane Foster Thor.
Okay.
I do appreciate that they had the discussion, that they've carried it through with her too. Like, no, I'm Thor now. Like, not Lady Thor, not Girl Thor, not Thor-S. Thor.
Well, there's actually a character called Thor Girl, who is Asgardian. I think she's a Skrull. Or some kind of alien. Everybody's a Skrull.
Yeah. I had her HeroClix and traded her to you, I think, or gave her to you. I don't remember. Back when we used to play HeroClix.
Yeah. I think she is an alien. I don't...
I mean...
I pulled up her Wikipedia page, and it's not easy to figure it out.
I mean, we
but you know what is cool?
Thor's an alien, too. Odin's
you know who created her?
Huh.
Dan Jurgens.
Hey, my boy!
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, what did you think of, what I will tell you, though, is I did not know. So, my main thing with this, like, I love that there's Thor, I love that it's Jane Foster, I love that it's somebody who's close to Odin's son, but he doesn't consider her. But I'll tell you, man, when I was reading this, especially the first time, I was like, when the hell did Jane Foster get cancer?
Yeah, that was actually...
I entirely missed that.
That I remember that coming up, like, when they were doing Dark Reign and Siege. Because she was in Broxton, and I think she told Thor that she had cancer. Like, so, it was beginning. Like, yeah, she had just found out.
And they also referenced Broxton, but I don't know what that was.
So there was a part in... I think it was... during Secret Invasion, or just after it, where Thor, like, where, so all the Asgardians had been destroyed in Ragnarok.
Yeah.
This was prior to Civil War. And so then when Thor came back, I forget exactly how he came back, but he, like, resurrected Asgard, but he couldn't put it, like, back on the World Tree or something, so it ended up in Broxton, Oklahoma.
Yeah, like hovering over it, right?
Well, the reason it's hovering is because the U.S. government was basically in charge. It was when Norman Osborn was in charge of Hammer and, like, running everything.
Yeah.
He made it illegal for them to be on U.S. soil, so Thor made it hover. It's like 50 feet above the ground. Well, because the people of Asgard, or the people of Broxton, didn't want the Asgardians to leave for whatever reason.
But yeah, cool.
So for a long time it was in Broxton. Asgard was floating above Broxton, Oklahoma.
Okay. I mean, like, that's my biggest thing with this, is there's a lot of references to outside events that matter heavily for this. Like, Odinson references a couple times the thing that Nick Fury told him that made him unworthy. But I don't remember seeing that ever.
Yeah, that happened in, I forget what the arc is called.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's difficult because you have to reference it because it's the entire reason that the Jane Foster gets the hammer at all. So you have to reference it. You have to point out why he's no longer worthy. It has to come up. There's no reason it wouldn't. But as a reader who only picked up this because I was like, hey, a new Thor? I'm down. I'm going to pick up issue one of the 2014 run of Thor. And like, Marvel handily has that recap page to start that some people don't like, but like, for me, that was really helpful in issue one. But then it's like, I don't have that context, and then I gotta go back, but then I gotta read the event associated with it, but then there's background for that, and it gets to be too big of a thing. And luckily in this, I like Jane Foster Thor enough that you can just kinda like roll with it. It's not a big deal. Like, you can kinda roll through these punches.
I mean, you can kind of like, just, like, pick it up, and kind of, if you don't worry too much about that kind of stuff, you can, you know, just kind of go with it. Because I think it's a good enough story that it's not a big deal that it's...
Yeah, and I appreciate, too, the way that when it is done more subtly, like when the other Asgardians point out, like, oh, the hammer never did that for Odin's son. Like, you are a whole new Thor, and it's awesome. You're doing cool new things. Like, I like that because otherwise you'd have to have context for, like, how Thor had used the hammer previously. You'd have to have read a lot of more Thor. Like, things like that do a good job of lowering the barrier. But, I mean, it's a difficult balancing act, and I don't envy Jason Aaron, who wrote this, to be like, well, I have to mention why Thor doesn't have the hammer, but it's really awkward to just, like, not have context around it. Like, it's a... I don't know. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. So, did we ever read Original Sin for the show? I don't think we did, right?
No, I don't think so. That doesn't come to mind for me.
So that's the story or the crossover event thing where Nick Fury whispers in Thor's ear, and he becomes unworthy. I don't remember. I don't know if it's been revealed, or maybe I just don't remember. But so the Original Sin story is that. It turns out that Nick Fury on Earth has been, like, just a series of life model decoys, and the real Nick Fury is on this space station in orbiting the Earth, and he's basically like, protecting the Earth from, like, stuff. I don't know, like, different things. And then, so, he kills the Watcher, because the Watcher, like, knows too much or something, and...
That's so Nick Fury.
And so then everybody goes and confronts him. And a bunch of things happen.
That's like the most Nick Fury storyline I can think of.
But it's like, it's so, like, so he has, he like kills the Watcher and takes his eyes. I don't remember exactly what happened. But ultimately this Nick Fury dies or something, but Winter Soldier replaces him as the man on the wall is what he calls himself.
Okay.
I mean, it was okay. But that's when this thing with Thor happened.
Yeah.
And then Thor also learns that Angela is his sister during that storyline.
Yeah, that's kind of just dropped here. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, she, turns out she's his sister.
Yeah, I like the family dynamic with them too, with Angela, Thor, the mother, Freya, and Odin, and then Cole now is in here too. I like the way that they have like they have a Shakespearean feel to the family.
Yeah,
their family. So like, of course, Freya knows that Odin's not going to ever put her in danger. So she just has to put him back in place, but he's still the Allfather. So there's like this really like. Tense battle of power between those two, plus Cole is in here now somehow, and by the way, it's still Odin's son, like, he's not gonna really endanger his son, but he still needs to put his son in place, and he also needs to try and get the hammer back, even though he doesn't wield it. Like, it's, I appreciate that there's this grand, long-standing interplay between the people of this family, and it's entirely unavoidable in the way that's, like, classical literature, and that, I mean, that's probably because it's pulled from mythology that's super old and super deep, but it really plays well on the page here, and it's I like that that their all of their family bullshit is suddenly quasi-inherited by Jane Foster because she's picked up the hammer. And yeah. she wants none of it, but like Freya's like, no, I don't care if you want it or not. You're in it now. You're in it now, and I picked a side for you, so fuck you. Sucks for you, Jane.
So, like, I think I know how your answer for this, but there was a lot of, like, controversy, as there tends to be when Marvel makes a change to a beloved character. How do you feel about Thor being replaced, basically?
I think it's awesome. Because Thor's been around since, what, the 60s? Oh, there's tons of Odin stories. I mean, that's why, like, when people come to me and say, like, well, you know, they'll tell me that why change a male character into a female and then make the story just as, like, their argument is, what's the point of changing the gender just to change the gender when it doesn't affect the story at all? And my counter is, like, if you give the hammer to Jane Foster and even make it the exact same stories that Walt Simonson did, it entirely changes the context of the story just by virtue of the fact that she's female. Like, all of those stories are completely unexplored from that angle because they were never even considered. So, even if this story were entirely unoriginal, the fact that you make it a female character makes her immediately different from every other Thor that came before her. Which, then, like, this story could be mediocre, but it then has merit just simply by the fact that they were willing to be bold enough to make it Lady Thor. Even if they called her Lady Thor, like, never mind those gender politics, like, it's fine. Like, I love it because it's Lady Thor, but aside from that, even if I didn't like Jane Foster Thor, like, I know what you mean by the controversy. I don't know the people that get up in arms because it's a different Thor. Like, Thor has literally been a frog. Loki has been Thor before, right? Beta Ray Bill has legit held the hammer and been Thor for a while. Like, I don't see a problem. I think people get up in arms when they see that she is now Thor, and that the Thor they thought they knew was Odinson. I don't think they like that what they thought they knew changed, and that this new woman is the character. Like, I think they feel like the rug was pulled out from under them, but I like the way the comic gets around it. It was like, well, the hammer just says if you hold the hammer, then you are Thor.
Yeah, so it's like whoever holds the hammer has the power of Thor. And so Thor is still Thor.
Yeah.
But now Jane Foster has the hammer.
She has
the powers of Thor.
Yeah,
well, like the thing. Like, Thor is, like, my favorite comic book character. Has been for a really long time. And this, you know, it doesn't, I think it's cool, like, that they, you know, that they changed up the storyline. I mean, it's just, like, why do you want to, like, who wants to read the same stories over and over again? Thor's not gone. He's right there. He's Odin's son. Right? And he's still having adventures and, like, I just don't understand, like.
Yeah. And if you like those 50 years or 60 years of Thor comics, you can go read those. They're not gone. You don't have to read. You don't have to read this. You could ignore it. It can just not exist for you.
Well, it's like the same thing when Star Wars, when they got rid of the expanded universe, right?
Yeah.
People, like, I don't know. People just like what they like, and they get sad when they don't get the thing. But the thing is, like, I remember when Loki was a girl, when Loki was a female.
Yeah, Lady Loki. I have an action figure of Lady Loki.
And I seem to remember people thinking that was hot. Like, creepy comic book guys. And so my Loki. Question is, why is that, like, hot, but, and acceptable, but not Jane Foster being Thor?
I would say we answer that question in our butts episode.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I forgot to tell you, we have a listener who listened to the butts episode and then went to the website and found my gig as a wedding officiant. Now I'm going to be performing his wedding. So I'm going to be performing the wedding of a listener.
That's amazing.
That's fucking awesome.
Is it like a person we don't know about?
Yeah.
Like, we don't know an IRL? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because I feel like nobody ever interacts with us except our boy Raymond.
Even that's been a little while.
Yeah, but, you know, like, it just feels good when I know people are listening, because Like, for example, like right before we were going to record this, we got started late and I was like, man, sometimes this feels like work, but
yep.
it makes it more like it makes me feel good when I find out that people are actually listening, you know?
Yeah. So go to that Patreon and support us for as little as a penny and let us know that you love us.
Or just say, go on Facebook and say hello. That's all you have to say. Or hi. Only two letters. Or an emoji.
Tweet at me, at Jolly Andy.
We just want to know you're out there. It's a lonely internet. It's just me and Andy and Jen.
Jen ain't even here tonight. It's just you and I shouting into ether.
Well, yeah, it's like, you know, shouting into the void, right?
Yeah. Yep. What were we talking about related to the comic?
Oh, I was talking about how Thor, how Loki has been a girl, and oh, that
yeah,
was
yeah, yeah,
cool.
And the Butts episode. Yeah, yeah. So go listen to the Butts episode, because we talk about that. How female characters aren't allowed to be the main role and be strong, but they can be sexy.
Well, and Loki was still Loki. He was just a she instead.
Yeah.
But, you know, because it's scary and different, people on the internet get all... Well, no, people liked Loki, excuse me.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it's... I mean, if anybody was going to become Thor after Thor, like, Jane Foster makes a lot of sense. Because she has been...
She's been a supporting forever. Character.
Like, for the... I think she was in, like, the first issue... You know, I mean, she's been around forever.
Let me see. Jane Foster, first appearance.
I bet it's like in one of the first issues of Thor.
Yeah, Journey into Mystery.
Yep, there you go.
Journey into Mystery, number 84, exact same comic as Thor.
Because at that time, Thor was a Donald Blake, right?
Yep.
And he was a doctor, and I think Jane was a nurse at his practice or at the hospital where he worked.
Yep.
Something to that effect. So she's always been...
So she's literally been around as long as Odinson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like I said, if anybody deserves it, it's her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, aside from that, like, Thor has his list, and everybody on the list seems reasonable. Like, Valkyrie, Hildegard, Brunhilde, Angela, Sif. Yeah, any one of them could pick up the hammer.
Well, I mean, and Jane Foster was on the list. He just... Because she was so, you know, she was... She's battling cancer. He wrote her off. And I think that's a reasonable conclusion to come to.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, not just that because she had cancer, but because she was, like, anti-Asgardian medicine and only wanting the Earth medicine. It makes you think, like, well, if she's anti-Asgardian healing, then she's not going to be one. Like, even if she had access, like, she has cancer, she's obviously really ill, I don't know how the fuck she would get to the moon, so let's ignore that. Even that aside, like, if she's anti-Asgardian medicine, why would she pick up the hammer and use it like this? Like, those two things don't equate by necessity. Only at the end do you get her reasoning for it. Like, even if it kills me, even if it makes my cancer worse, even if I can't go to the Asgardians because they might find out who I am, I'm going to keep being Thor because the world needs Thor. And,
exactly.
And my boy's unworthy. So I'm going to do this. But even then, who's the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that he has on the list? Rosalind?
Yeah, Rosalind. I forget what her last name is.
Hey, I forget too. But she was... this is the first time I ever saw her, and she's badass. I think she could hold a hammer. I don't know if she's, like, worthy, but, you know. I wouldn't be upset.
You don't remember? She was in the... In Volume 1, wasn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, like before this run, was she introduced in this run?
No, I think she was introduced in this run.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, she's badass. Yeah, cool. She could hold it.
I mean, everybody that's on his list is a reasonable candidate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's see, who shows up at the end there? Because the end was most of the people on his list. Captain Marvel was there. Spider-Woman, I don't know about Spider-Woman, that's a little iffy. But she's pretty cool. That's the ones that are springing to mind. And then all the Asgardians and the Valkyries.
And Hildegard. Yeah. Scarlet Witch.
Oh. Fuck. You know who it should have been?
Who?
I'm gonna drop the mic here. It should have been Volstagg's wife.
I'm on board with that.
That would make a fantastic Thor. Oh my god. His wife is awesome. I gotta go read some more Walt Simonson stuff.
Well, you know who is... So, when Marvel did their Secret Wars crossover, like, they merged worlds.
Uh-huh.
And somebody... So, the Ultimate Universe Thor, his hammer is in the main Marvel continuity now. And so, Odin's son thinks about getting that hammer, but he turns it down. But then this person appears called War Thor. And War Thor is Volstagg with Ultimate Thor's hammer.
Oh, that's awesome! I have to read that!
It's pretty recent.
Holy
shit. Like the last few months.
That sounds phenomenal!
It's pretty cool.
Because Volstagg is the best of the Warriors 3. I'm sorry, he's just the best.
Yeah.
I mean,
I love
Zachary Levi, but Fandral ain't doing it for me. And Hogan's just kind of there. yeah. Oh, fuck. I got to read that, man.
Yeah, so it's pretty recent.
That's another Thor. So if you're upset about Jane Foster being Thor, like, I think you'd be more rightful to be upset about Volstagg becoming Thor.
If you're upset about Volstagg being Thor, you're wrong.
Right. But that's more reasonable than being upset about Jane Foster. They're both wrong and they're both unreasonable, but like on the scale. I don't know. I know why they make the argument. I know that they feel cheated or feel like they're rooks. But it's like, you know, it's the same people complain, like, what do you mean Captain America's, you know, Hydra now and a Nazi? Like, just read. No, you didn't even read it. You just read the headline and got upset.
I think non-comic book news sites should not report on comic book stuff.
Yeah.
Because it just makes people who don't actually read the comics get all upset.
Yeah. Well, I mean, luckily Marvel seems to not give a fuck because they have continued this run.
Yeah.
Which is part of the problem. That's part of the reason this episode's like, why we're having to record this late. Usually we keep a buffer, but we're doing this one like right the day before it's going to publish because we read the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Because they restarted, this run came out in 2014, then they had a 2016 run. I think they had a new number one this year.
This run that we read for the episode happened before Secret Wars.
Yes.
And so Secret Wars, like, was Marvel's kind of soft reboot, what am I trying to say? Like DC did their rebirth thing. It's Marvel's version of that.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of numbering restart. But unlike DC, the Marvel one was not actually new stories. It was just whatever happened after Secret Wars.
Yeah. So this from 2014 went to 8 issues, and then they did Thor's number one, and then from there, Jane Foster Thor had a new number one, I think, in 2015 or 16. And then there's another number one? I don't remember why.
Thor's was...
Battle World?
It was part of Secret Wars.
Yeah. Which, like, that's cool, but it makes it difficult when I'm trying to, like, alright, I'm gonna go read number one of Jane Foster Thor, and I type in, you know, Lady Thor Volume 1, and the first one that comes up isn't this one, even though it kind of ought to be.
Yeah.
I don't know. We have the discussion all the time about how you number, and I remember I went to a signing and talk that Kelly Sue DeConnick gave here at a local comic shop, and she was saying, somebody asked her about, like, numbering and how to make comics more approachable, because when she was doing the talk, Captain Marvel had its third number one, you know, and so Kelly Sue DeConnick was saying that she would want every new story arc to be a number one. So, like, you know, I'm going to do an 8-issue story, and it's going to go 1 to 8, and then I'm going to do another 8-issue story about Captain Marvel, and that's going to start at number one. And then I'm going to do 6 after that. So, you'd have multiple number ones of a run every year, because then it would drive the authors to make more self-contained stories, knowing that they would have a number one, and they'd be starting a fresh story. But the more I think about that, and the more we do for the show, it's like, then you have to do research before you buy a number one. Because if you've heard that a certain run or a certain story of a certain one was good, then you have to do research to make sure you grab, like,
I get that that makes it, her idea makes it really easy to pick up number one off the shelf. Because then there's going to be two or three different number one issues of a run on the shelf any given year. So you can walk in, grab number one off the shelf, and read that single issue. But if I want to go back and get a run from 2014, 3 years after the fact, man, it's I have to do research, which isn't that big of a barrier. But man, any little thing that makes it tougher is just kind of like, ugh. Luckily, this is on Marvel Unlimited, so I fucked up and I didn't have to spend like $5 or $10 or whatever for my fuck up. But I'd been pissed if I bought a trade and then realized later it was the wrong one.
I bought the wrong one.
Ah.
I mean, it's okay. Like, I don't mind.
It's a good run, you know.
Yeah, I'm not upset about it, but, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how comics fixes this problem, because DC's gone back and forth. And I mean, then you get the whole conversation too. Like, if you've got like 800 issues of like Action Comics, do you renumber to make it more approachable for new readers, or do you maintain it for the legacy and make people want to be like, yeah, I want to get into that? Because some people are like, see 850 issues and are like, that comic's got history. I want to get in there. I want to get into that continuity.
Well, people also see that and say, I don't know what's going on in this comic. I'll never know what's going on. So I think that renumbering every once in a while is okay. I think if it was up to me, I'd say that every time a new writer comes onto the comic, start the numbering over again.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
I mean, the way, oftentimes when I think of runs on comics, I don't think of the volume, because I know sometimes they're called like volume 4 issue, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think of it as a particular writer's run on it. So right now we're reading Jason Aaron's run on Thor.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that goes all the way back to the stuff with Gore, the God Butcher, which was before Original Sin. Like, he's been on it for a while. Like, I think in 2012 or 2013, he started on the comic. And this is still the Jason Aaron run in my mind. So, you know.
Yeah. See, but even then, cause if you make that number one, and I hear Jane Foster Thor is really good, then I have to look for, was it volume 3 of that run? Would be when Jane Foster comes in?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's fine. I mean, if that's really where you want to start, you do your research. I don't know.
I mean, the thing now, too, the thing is, like, it's not particularly that hard to look stuff up on the, because we have the internet in our pockets all the time. Or, you know, you can always go to your friendly comic book store and just ask.
Yeah, ask your local retailer. They know.
They know, and they're not scary people. I mean, at least the comic book store I go to is not full of scary people.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that is important. That's why there's at least a couple years ago, there's a big discussion about comic stores being a welcoming place for new readers and for female readers especially. I can always take that for granted because our comic book shop is owned by a woman, so it's like a super accepting environment all the time of like everyone.
Yeah.
So I've taken it for granted, but I have heard horror stories, and even about other local shops in an area that you would think not be a problem. But, whew.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have Elusive Comics.
Yeah. Yeah, but I've heard some weird stuff about comic shops around here and their owners.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, this comic that we read, this one. Come back around to it again. You know, my wife and I talked about the art, but you and I didn't talk about it. What do you think about this art style and the design of Jane Foster Thor?
I mean, in general, I like it. I think it's cool. I like the way that the paneling is done in this. It makes the pages look more interesting. I like the Jane Foster's character design. I don't love her helmet, I'm gonna be honest. I don't like the point on the top of the helmet for whatever reason. I just don't like it. But I think otherwise she looks pretty cool. I like the use of colors in this. I mean, in general, it's pretty bright colors. Like, even when Thor's on the moon, the sky is kind of bright behind him. But like the different shots inside Asgard, like in Odin's throne room, mm-hmm. it all looks bright and colorful, and I think that, you know, I think maybe this, the set designs are being influenced by the Marvel movies to some degree, because it reminds me of the movies, the way Asgard looks in the Thor movies, and that's okay. I think that's cool.
Because Asgard in Thor movies is pretty awesome.
Yeah. I love Heimdall in the comics because of the eyes.
Yeah.
I don't think that Idris Elba Thor has those eyes.
No. No, that was awesome. When that panel came up and he was like, I see all of these things and none of them are the identity of Thor. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, bro. That ain't a problem for me. That's a problem for you. Solve it your damn self. I got other shit to do.
But, I mean, Jane Foster looks like a proper badass when she's fighting Destroyer and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I really appreciate about it is that, like, you see that set of armor, and it doesn't look like classic Thor. It kind of looks like newer Thor. I love that the costume is obviously directly inspired by Thor's armor and Thor's outfit, but it's still definitely not. And I like the way that, even down to the way she looks, it ties into the idea that this Thor is powerful and definitely Thor, but still also distinctly different from Odinson and distinctly different from all the other Thors. And I love the way that's brought all the way into the costume.
And I think that's a really important way to, make the characters distinct, because you could easily just put her in Thor's costume.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they didn't go that way. Because it makes her a distinct character, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah, because then if you just put her in Thor's costume, then you play into the hands of the people who make the argument, like, why even make Thor a woman now if even the costume is going to be the exact same? You know, you play into that argument, I think, when you do that, and I think you do have to make her different. For me, the helmet works, but I think that's the biggest departure style-wise from the OG Thor.
I'm fine with the helmet as a concept. I just don't like the point on top for some reason. I couldn't even tell you why I don't like it. It's just like, it's not my jam.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing that my wife and I discussed when we talked about this before, at least I think I remember discussing, is that it thankfully does not have boob plate. Good job, Russell Dowderman.
I mean, it doesn't. It's just contoured so there's room in there.
Yeah.
But it's not like...
I mean, the boob plate is the one that comes in the middle.
Yeah, this does not.
Which is just terrible, like, terrible armor design, because if you just get struck, like, not even a piercing blow of any kind, but if you just get a good heavy blow to your chest of armor, then your armor is going to puncture your chest.
Yeah.
And stab you. Like, there'd be no functional reason to design armor like that, and it's strictly for design, and there's armor that was made way back in the day without that. Like, never functionally has armor been made that way, so there's no reason to draw it like that other than to be like, hey, dem boobs. You know,
yeah.
And it's like, especially if you're going to reboot Thor like this, not even reboot, if you're going to introduce a new Thor like this, you got to get every little detail right. And I know that's not like a detail for some people, but you got to make sure you're on top of these and you're on point, especially if this is written by a dude and drawn by a dude.
Well, I mean, think about how big of a joke female armor is in games like World of Warcraft, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you go to reddit.com/r/transmog, there's a whole sub-theme of slutmog. That's what they call it.
I am not surprised at all by Reddit.
Yeah. I mean, it's used like, I'm rolling my eyes because you posted another slutmog. But yeah, there's a term for it.
Yeah. It just looks... I mean, it was a butt of a joke. I think even Blizzard recognized, and they tried to improve the female armor design as time went on.
Well, and what they've done too, I can say this, leveling up a druid because you wear leather armor, they've introduced much more skimpy male too. So you can go, how do I say this? You can go wild, you can go feral with your dude. be practically naked running around Warcraft if we want, with the male armor. So I don't know if equality in that is what you're going for, but they're doing it both ways. They're pulling out the slut mog and adding in some dude slut mog.
It's cheesecake for everyone.
That's right. For a while, I did have my druid running around in like a thong. It's hilarious. Man, I haven't logged into Warcraft in forever. I gotta do that.
I have. Mine's been canceled for a long time.
I've been paying for it and not logging in. Because I'm always like, I'm going to log in one day. What, for a half an hour?
I mean, I like World of Warcraft. It's a fun game. I can't set the time aside to do it anymore.
You know what's really... I took the time and used my work internet to download a hard drive, an external hard drive, full of free-to-play games. You know what was really fun to jump back into? Star Trek Online. Because, the land combat still sucks, but man, the ship-to-ship stuff is just... It looks good.
That's what made that game so great, was the ship-to-ship.
Yeah, it looks so good, and the system is so... Man, that's perfect. Like, it feels like Star Trek. It doesn't feel like a dogfight. It's so good. That holds up real good.
So is the game, it's still up? Like, their servers and stuff?
Yeah, they're on expansion 13.
Wow, I should check it out.
13.5. Yeah, they did the whole...
I'm gonna check it out.
They did a whole Delta Quadrant expansion. You can go to the Delta Quadrant with 7 of 9 and Captain Harry Kim.
Oh, poor Harry Kim. Everything bad happens to him.
Dude, I like that it's been like 100 years or whatever in game time from what you see in Voyager, and he's still only a captain. Like, that's not that many promotions. He should be a lot higher than that, considering that he flew back from the Delta Quadrant. Part of Voyager. Everybody else got massive promotions, but he's still just a captain. Well, do you want to rate this thing?
Yeah, let's rate this.
I mean, we're talking about Harry Kim at this point, so I guess we can rate this. I'm gonna rate this as a whole, because I mean this whole run of Thor starting at issue one is only 8 issues. I mean, there's the annual in there, which is kind of just a fun read. There's a story of Thor drinking Mephisto under the table, a story of Jane Foster Thor going on a bros night out with the Warriors 3, and there's a story of King Thor crying. Did you read the annual?
I thought it was cool.
Those were fun, but they're not really part of the story, so I'm not going to include that in my rating. And I didn't get a chance to read the What If one. So then we're just kind of at these three comics that reveal it's Jane Foster, oh my god, and then there's another comic after this, but after Thor's, and it's the renumbering thing, it's kind of wonky. But I gotta say, I'm gonna give this a 4. There's only 3 issues, so it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to go from that. And I really do want to know what happens moving forward, knowing that it is Jane Foster. I like that Odin's son still doesn't know. But for me, it was just a really great moment when Thor shows up to the fight with Destroyer, and he's like, "Look at me and all these awesome people!" And Freya's like, "Or no, Thor's like, I'm here to help." And Freya's like, "And me, and my army of badass women." Freya's like, "Bro, son, it's not just you. Not everything is about you, son." She didn't quite say that, but it was kind of that point.
Yeah,
that was a great page and a great moment, especially because it's such a drag-down fight with Destroyer and Cole, and you know Cole. Like, I didn't read Fear Itself, but you know Cole. Like, you, just from the moment he's just, like, wigging out on the floor controlling Destroyer, it's like, this guy is slimy and I don't like him.
Definitely.
So, like, it's a good momentous fight, and it feels good, and it's a nice win, and it's neat. Four, this whole thing's just fun to read, and if you want to hear the whole discussion I had with my wife about, like, feminism in comics and the female character and all that kind of stuff that we had, and we kind of touched upon here, too, go listen to episode I'm Gonna Look It Up.
Way to be prepared.
Yeah, I know. What about you, David?
I'm also going to give it a 4. I think this is just, I mean, I'm a big fan of Thor. Like I said before, I have been for a long time, and I think this is some of the best stuff. I mean, all of Jason Aaron's run on Thor, and then he did Unworthy Thor, which was about just Odin's son. It's just great comics. So if you like Thor and you haven't read this, you need to read it just because Jason Aaron does such a good job on a great character. So definitely check it out. It definitely is a 4, at least.
Okay. Episode 227 is where my wife and I talk about Thor. Which also apparently we talk about the trailer for the last episode, for the last season of Korra, if you want to get a sense of how old this episode is. That's fun to go back and see that. So yeah, episode 227 is where we talk about volume 1 of this run. Yeah, so thank you, Jason Aaron, for writing this, and thank you, Russell Dauterman, for drawing this. Like I'm trying to say every show now after episode 300, no matter what criticisms we give, no matter what rating we give any comic, even if it's Spawn, which we just utterly trashed on, we wouldn't even have the opportunity to do that if these guys hadn't have come in and created something. And so it's always worth thanking the creators and thanking people for putting themselves out there and doing the work so that we can sit here and bullshit about comics for an hour. Like, if they hadn't done the work, we couldn't do this. So thank you, Jason Aaron. Thank you, Russell Dauterman. But that's it for this week. Next week, you're going to read David's Volume 2. We're going to read The Wicked and the Divine, Fandemonium. And I am so glad you picked this, David, because before I looked up Volume 2 of this run, I forgot how Volume 1 ended. And I was like, oh, yeah, that was a massive cliffhanger.
I need to go. I'm going to reread Volume 1. Before I read Volume 2, yeah, just to,
I need to
make sure I'm in the right headspace.
I remember loving Wicked and Divine, and I remember like being floored at the cliffhanger, and then I completely dropped the ball on continuing the run, reading the run. And I have Volume 2. I just never got around to reading it. So I'm so happy you picked this. The other Volume 2 you were debating would have been great too, but I'm so happy you went with Wicked and Divine. So next we're gonna read Wicked and Divine, Fandemonium. As always, if you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. In a couple weeks, there's not going to be an episode in the feed, and that's because we're posting it on Patreon instead. That used to be exclusive only if you were a patron, but now I'm just publishing it there for everyone. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/welcometocomics, and the episode will be there. I'm going to put something in the feed reminding you that that's where it is, because this last one didn't get the kind of turnout that the first one did, where I did post a reminder. So I'm going to do reminders from now on when I do that, but just know, you don't have to go and support us, and we would appreciate it, even if you just give a penny, like David said earlier. Just letting us know that you listen, you care, you like the content, even a penny is fantastic, just to letting us know. But yeah, patreon.com/welcometocomics. If you want to read one of those, or if you want to listen to one of those past 301 episodes, go to welcometocomics.com, click on past shows. There's future shows with what we have coming up. Even after this run, we have a sci-fi series coming up, and then I'm planning another run after that too. Welcome to comics.com. And you can follow us on social media. We have a Facebook page. We have a Twitter at Welcome to Comics, which mostly just posts when a new episode gets posted. But you can follow me at Jolly Andy. I host a bunch of other shows too, one on Survivor, one on anime, and I might have another one getting in there too. I don't know where the hell I have time for these. My wife hates me. But yeah, at Jolly Andy. At Jolly Andy is where you can find me online. Yeah, that's it for this week though. Next week, Wicked and Divine, Fandemonium. I'm pumped for that.
Me too. I'm excited.
Sweet. Until next week, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye.